Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Successful Woman Radio Show, brought to you by womenaboutbiz.net, empowering you with the tools and resources to start and grow your very own business. Happy Monday. This is Queen Trina Newby, your host and business success coach, broadcasting to you live on this beautiful day. And as always, bringing you inspiration, motivation, and ways to make your business, your dreams, and your ideas, guess what? A big success. Hello, queens. How are you? I trust that you had a beautiful weekend, that you enjoyed your Palm Sunday, and that you indeed kept Christ on your mind as we are coming into Easter celebration and celebration of the Lord's burial and resurrection. And of course, all Christians around the world are going to be celebrating this great fact that Jesus indeed is Lord, that he rose on that third day. Amen. So, you know, I have been really busy this past weekend just trying to play catch up. So I dedicated this weekend to my business in catching up on some things. And I did some tests on some things. One of the tests that I did was in reference to the timing of performing my task and how long it would take me to perform that task. So I identified some tasks that normally seems to take me a long time, you know, maybe a couple hours or more. And so what I did was I set my timer on 45 minutes. And I took a break in between that 45 minutes. I think it was like within 20 minutes, I took a break, got up, walked away from my desk. And here's what I discovered. First of all, I discovered because I had in my mind that I needed to go ahead and move quickly and finish this task within 45 minutes. There was no reason for it to just continue to carry on. Guess what? I finished the task. Also, when I took a break and I walked away from it, it actually helped me to kind of clear my mind up a little bit more and come back to it. And so in 45 minutes, I actually wrote an article. Now, I will say this, I used AI to do some research, which also helps to speed up time. But for the most part, it was me that came up with the concept, and I was, you know, writing the intro paragraphs and different things like that, but it happened in 45 minutes. Normally, it may take me about an hour and a half to 2 hours for 800 to 1,000 word articles. So really, why was I testing this? Why was I wanting to see this? Because I believe that I have a bigger capacity than I think to work less hours. Does that make any sense? In other words, I want to start having a 3-workday week, but I've got to figure out how that's going to happen based on the role that I play in my business and how things are going. And so I'm really, really excited about figuring this out. Why? It's because we hear people talk all the time about flexibility and, oh, you know, working from home, you can earn thousands of dollars and you can do all these different things. But there are a lot of variables that go into that. And you may not always be able to do that. For example, someone working a full-time job may not be able to actually use only 3 days because they're already cutting down so low on their hours that they may need those extra days. So we'll talk about that in just a few minutes. But I wanted to share that exciting news that I did get that done in 45 minutes. And as queens of our empires, we're always going to be looking for ways to streamline our productivity, work smarter, not harder. And so that was one of those things. I was very happy about that. Well, as we look at the show and what's going on in the show, we have some exciting things coming up today. I am going to be going over the 7 questions of business leadership. Also, preparing your minds for greatness, that is just such an important thing that we should be doing. I've got some Women About Biz announcements. And then as we put closure on our overall theme for this month, the Prosperity Code, I'm going to be sharing with you about giving back with impact. Exactly what does that mean, right? And so we're going to be talking about that a little bit later on in the show. So before we get started, let us go to God in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to wake up this morning. Oh, yes, Father, we are so grateful for that. We have yet another day to accomplish our business dreams and goals. Bless us, oh Lord, as we pursue being queens of our empires, taking action and leadership, Father. Let us not procrastinate, oh no, on our business goals and tasks, but be steadfast, unmovable, unshakable, O Lord. We ask for a special blessing over all those women who might be struggling with debt, feeling alone and isolated, and quite frankly, Lord, not sure which way to turn. Oh, but Father, let them know that they are not alone. Give them inner peace and strengthen the angels to them, Lord. Let the Holy Spirit within them keep them warm, O Lord. Send them resources and others, yes, Lord, even us, to them, that we may help. We thank you for all the blessings that you have given us, and we embrace and accept all those blessings that are coming our way. Thank you for Successful Woman Radio, Lord. I thank you for allowing me to share with other women, no matter the number, sharing with other listeners of the show. Father, what's going on in business, how you can grow your business, how you can start your business and be that queen of your empire. Bless all of our listeners, O Lord, both those who are listening now and those who will be listening to the replay. Oh, I trust again that you all had a fantastic weekend enjoying your Palm Sunday. And, you know, I can remember being a little girl and my mom getting excited because it was time for me to choose my Easter speech. Now, I might be aging myself because I'm not even sure if they still have Easter speeches for kids in church, but I can remember how exciting it was that they used to make it for us, right? Of course, we talked about the burial and resurrection of the Lord in our Bible classes leading up to Easter. And then we would have the big Easter egg hunt on that Saturday on the church grounds, and all the kids were so excited about that. And then usually throughout that month leading up to Easter, we would actually be choosing our Easter speech presentations, right? And it was just little strips of paper with different Bible verses on. And of course, based on your age, your Bible verse might be larger than others. But I can remember coming home from school and my brother Fred saying, you know, don't forget you need to practice your Easter speech. And my mom saying, oh, you know, did you practice your Easter speech today? So that was a big thing in my family coming up. You know, we had to practice for the Easter speech. And I remember some years losing that little strip of paper with the Easter speech on it and me having to scramble to figure it out and find it. So those just bring back memories of joy and ways that the church worked with children to get them not only excited about just Easter, but just to get them excited about knowing about the resurrection of our Christ and Savior Jesus. And so that's just one of my childhood memories. Maybe some of you have different traditions, right? Different traditions about Easter. But in my family, Easter is just as big as Christmas or New Year's or any other, any of the other secular holidays that we celebrate, you know, and the family coming together after church for Easter dinner. And it was just a big thing. And so this time of year really does bring back some memories. And of course, y'all, you know, I'm thinking about my mother's sweet potato pies and her coconut cake and all of the things that she used to bake during the Easter Sunday. So, yeah, mother's not here with me anymore, but she's definitely in my heart, and I have such fun memories. But I'm also excited that we celebrate the resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, because it's such representation of so many, many things. So hopefully you guys will have a beautiful month and doing wonderful things with your children as you are coming up, and even things for your for yourself. You know, today we are going to explore the topic of giving back with impact. We'll be looking at how it is that we can participate in our communities, what we can do to make an impact on the world. And that's the big thing right there. You know, you might be thinking, well, I've never thought about this factor of how I might be able to utilize my business to give back. But again, you don't have to be a nonprofit to do some charitable things and giving back. And you don't have to always give back with money. I mean, you could give back of your time and you could give back of your knowledge. So we're going to talk about that in just a little bit. Right now, I've got for you the 7 questions of business leadership. Again, the 7 questions of business leadership. Now, if you'll remember, each year we come up with a whole new list of questions that are going to help you to hone your leadership skills, to really step into your power of being the CEO and queen of your empire, right? And so let's talk about these 7 questions. Let's look at how they might be able to help us, starting with number 1. You're going to ask yourself the question, will I commit to preparing my mind for greatness each morning this week, right? So we're breaking it down. This is something that should be done every single day of your life, but we're breaking it down. Are you going to commit to doing it this week? There's a process of preparing your mind for greatness, and it's a combination of together using prayer, your self-belief, customized affirmations, and unshakable faith. These things together help you to strengthen your personal power. Now, remember, you know, preparing your mind for greatness is about making sure that you strengthen yourself and guard yourself against anything that does not enhance your life. And again, this is something that has to be practiced on a daily basis consistently. Here's number 2. Am I effectively balancing passion and profitability in my business, balancing the two? Now, you know, one of the members brought this up to me, and she told me what she was thinking about this. And again, my girl Cheryl up in New Jersey, she's probably been a longtime listener for the entire show. And she emailed me and said, you know, as I did this one, I thought about, you know, am I making sure that I'm just not in a mode of passion in my business to where I'm daydreaming and just thinking about how I could be successful, but I'm not paying enough attention to actually bringing in the money? And so, you know, that is a very great aspect of this, right? Balancing passion and profitability. It's important to reflect on whether your business aligns with your personal passions while also being financially sustainable, right? And what that means is that sometimes we can get ourselves so excited about what we want to do in business. We can have a lot of passion about what's happening and what we're going to do for the future of our business. We can get really excited about that part, but we must balance that with knowing and looking at what should our sales goals be? How can I grow this business? And I want to remind all of you, here's the thing. Having a business, it has a great responsibility to it, because not only, right, is it going to benefit you, but don't forget that you are a living testimony for God to show his greatness and his power, and what he has promised us is surely true. And so God is expecting you to multiply. He's expecting you to grow your business. And so you must become financially sustainable in your business. He's expecting you to, right? So you've got to consider how you can enhance the profits, right? And you've got to figure out what your sales goals are going to be. This is very important. So you must balance having that passion and that excitement with actually bringing in some money, right? Very important. Here's number 3. How can I strengthen my online presence and marketing strategies? Now, when you ask yourself this question, you need to really get in a habit of evaluating and assessing your current online presence now, including your mailing list, your website, social media, and other marketing efforts, right? here's just a simple question. How many leads did I generate this month? How many discovery calls did I actually do this month? How many products did I actually sell, right? So this is very important to assess your current online presence and knowing how you can use your online presence to generate, right, a larger mailing list, to generate people visiting your website. Now, one of the things that we've talked about for the past couple of years that's been growing more and more is enhancing your visibility with videos, right? This will help you. You can also enhance your visibility and recognition with free offers. You can create, if you don't want to do a consistent podcast, even if it's once or twice a quarter, and you can do guest interviews on those audios to connect with your target audience, right? The key here is that you've got to figure out how you can strengthen your online marketing presence and strengthen your marketing. Question number four, you can ask yourself, what learning opportunities can I pursue to enhance my skills? You know, here's the thing, as the CEO of your business, you must be continually learning. So you have to identify areas where you can expand your skills, whether it's related to a product, a service, marketing, or even your technology that you might be using. Look for workshops, online courses, networking events, and don't forget YouTube. YouTube has, people have put incredible learning videos on YouTube. You can put in just about any type of keyword or keyword phrase, and it will pull up for you what is available. Now, I will say this. You may want to enter the year 2024 so you can get maybe the latest information that you're looking for, right? And as always, anything that you research on Google or anywhere else, you know, you've got to use your wit and your gut instincts with it to know whether that information is valid or true or what have you. So pay close attention also to what you're looking at, but I can say that a lot of resources are available. Here's question number five. What will I do to hold myself accountable to my business goals week? Wow. Personal accountability is the cornerstone to your success, right? And the one thing I want to say here is that women have a tendency to trick their own selves, okay? And here's an example of that. You may say that, you know, this week I need to write two articles and I need to make sure that I connect, you know, literally call someone and connect with two to three people in my industry that don't know me, invite them to connection calls. However, it may not get done and you may have added it to your calendar, but because you might have a habit of continuously moving things along, you know, and rescheduling tasks that you need to get done, you can find yourself, instead of it being a simple task, you've now made it something complex and you've now pushed it back days, weeks, or months, and you're trying to figure out, how did I get here? So personal accountability as a businesswoman really is about, number one, developing an accountability system that is going to work for you and hold you accountable. And there are different types of accountability system. For me, I use a combination of my calendar, making sure that whatever tasks support the goals I'm trying to accomplish have either been delegated and I've marked follow-up dates with my virtual assistant, or if I'm doing the task myself, that I have marked those tasks in my calendar, I've scheduled them, and I have double padded the time so I don't sabotage myself, but I'm making sure that I'm holding myself accountable. I also have a spreadsheet, an Excel spreadsheet, where, you know, you can really, you can see what's going on. If I did a particular task on point for this week, and as I said, Excel, but it's actually a Google Sheet, and the two are Excel, Microsoft Excel, and Google. They work exactly pretty much the same way. So there are different things that I have created and have discovered ways to hold myself accountable, but I also have to make some rules for myself as well, right? Like, I should see red flags all over the place if I keep rescheduling things that really need to be done. And the other thing is that Even if something is a supportive factor in generating me money, but it's not directly making me money, it doesn't mean that I should be rescheduling it if somebody calls me and wants me to do something else, right? And I'm all excited about going to a concert, or I'm all excited about going to play with my friend for lunch. No, I let them know when I look at my calendar and I look at the different time slots and I see that something needs to get done, even if it's a task that I need to do, I make sure that I do it. I don't say, oh, I can reschedule this and do this anytime. I give respect to my business. I respect it. And I give respect to God for allowing me to be the queen of this empire and for managing it. And so therefore, he's expecting some things out of us as a result. He's expecting us to grow our businesses, as I said before. So you need to make sure, number one, that you create a realistic action plan and that you outline specific tasks that you need to be accomplishing. You've got to, on the regular, check in with yourself, assess your progress, and make adjustments as needed. Also, consider leveraging tools to help you with your productivity. And of course, I am a Google girl, so I use a lot of Google tools. I use Google Calendar. I use Google Meet, Google Docs, I use Google Slides, I use a combination of different Google tools, but there are other things that are out there as well, other third-party softwares that may help you as well. And so some of them might include Monday.com. Monday.com is a CRM. It is a scheduler. It is a tasker. So that one's very good as well. And I called out Monday.com, but there are a lot of others. There's 17 Hats. I don't know how many of you have heard of 17 Hats, but it allows you to task out things and to also keep up with your clients and the different things that are going on. So again, there are a lot of things out there that can help you, but at the end of the day, you are the one that has to hold yourself accountable. And that means that you have to be very serious about it. You must do it with respect to God, who has blessed you with this business concept and idea, and he's blessed you with the talent and the potential to make those things happen that you have purposed to do. Here's number six. This question is important too. Am I prioritizing self-care and well-being in my entrepreneurial journey? I want you to think about something. You know, are you paying attention to how you're generally feeling on a daily basis? I want you to think about that. Are you paying attention, again, to how you are feeling on a daily basis in general, right? You know, are you having energy? Do you have energy? Do you feel clear or do you feel foggy? Are you tired, right? Or, you know, are you ready to work, right? How are you feeling? Because this is very, very important. And sometimes we ignore how we feel. And I have had clients to share with me that they feel tired for a couple of weeks, you know, that they haven't felt like exercising or doing much of anything. And I have totally felt that way as well. But here's the thing. When you feel that way, we need to know that there is either something going on physically or mentally, you know? And this is when we really do need to schedule an appointment with our doctor and, you know, make sure that we have our blood taken to look at our vitamin levels and look at what it could be. Discuss all of these things with your physician. Very important. But also, maybe you have been dealing with things before from a mindset standpoint, and when you get overwhelmed or when certain things happen in your life, maybe it causes you to break down to the point to where you feel dysfunctional, you procrastinate, you feel lethargic, you're tired all the time, you don't have that energy that you need to have. And so maybe these things are familiar to you. Either way, you've got to prioritize your self-care on these things, and you've got to figure out how you can get better with it, right? This is important. This is why work-life balance and well-being go together, and you've got to be making sure that you take your breaks, that you are setting boundaries and not working all day. Now, being someone that works from home, I can attest to the fact that, first of all, I love the art of business. I love all day long. I can be reading books on business. I can be writing articles. I'm just off in my own little world with all of that, right? However, I also have realized over the years that it has done some damage to me. And I, you know, just want to remind all of you, looking at the computer all day long and the computer screen can cause some real problems. And so you've got to be able to get those breaks throughout the day, but you also have to have a limit to how long you're going to work on your business, right? You know, working 12-hour days day in and day out, when you have the ability to control that, is not a good thing. So I want you to pay attention to that. And also, for those of you, the queens who are working a full-time job, who are also running a business, they have a side hustle or a part-time business, I want to salute you because you're doing a mighty thing, right? But you also have to pay attention to that, because maybe you have a desk job or a job where you are looking at the computer all day long, and then coming home to do the same thing can have just as big of impact as somebody being at home all day working 12 hours and looking at that screen. So all I'm saying is that we've got to start prioritizing our mental and physical health so that we can sustain our passion and creativity, because it doesn't make a lot of sense to have the goals of generating a wealth, of generating a great income, only not to be able to take advantage of it and use it. We're not going on anybody's vacation feeling, you know, tired, down and out. We can't do a whole lot to even service our clients and customers if we're so tired that we can't do it. And so this can lead to other things, right? And so I just want to caution all of us to pay close attention to this. Last but not least, we're going to move on to question number 7, probably one of the most important questions of all 7 questions that you need to be asking yourself, and that is, on a scale of 1 to 10, what is my belief level? Now, I want to get front, close, and real about this particular question that you should be asking yourself. I think that even sometimes when we answer this question for ourselves, we have such a strong desire to want to be successful in our lives that sometimes when we ask ourselves questions that where the truth must be told, we can still even lie to our own selves about it, right? We can stretch it. So on a scale of 1 to 10, what's my belief level is all about you grading yourself, with 1 being the lowest and 10 being the highest. Where are you with believing in yourself and your ability to lead your company, your ability to achieve your goals and make things happen in your business? Where are you on that? You know, what is your belief level within yourself on that? And do you have that kind of unshakable faith in yourself where it compels you to take swift and immediate action on all that you think of, dream of, on the things that you have purpose to do? Where is your belief level on that? And, you know, the evidence is extremely clear on this, right? And the evidence is that your belief level is tied directly into all of your actions. So if you are taking action, you should see your goals being accomplished. You should see your to-do items being marked complete. You should see the things that you have purpose to do for your business. You should see them moving along and being accomplished, right? It shouldn't be taking you a year to write an ebook. It shouldn't be taking you months and months to write an article. It should not be taking you weeks to create a social media content schedule. It shouldn't be taking you all of that. But here's what happens. What happens a lot of the times is that when we are not truthful with ourselves, oftentimes we cannot heal and overcome anything that we are not willing to admit. And that, my friends, you can take to the bank. That is the truth. And I can only use myself as an example. I want to be transparent with you here. You know, the belief level goes up and down. which is why it's so important to prepare your mind for greatness, because every single day there are different things that we're being exposed to. Different things are happening in our lives, whether it's with our family, whether it's with our friends, whether it's with other people. Our business may not be generating the type of income that we had hoped. So many things are going on. And as women, we are so multitasking that we get overwhelmed and stressed very easily. And then when we get that way, we have a tendency to just basically break down and do nothing. That procrastination bug hits us really heavy. And this has been the case with me on several occasions, right? I've been made president of the Procrastination Club more than once. And so again, I want to let you know that this question is not a question to take lightly. This is not one of those questions where you joke with yourself and say, okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, my belief level is a 10. Well, prove it. If it's a 10 at a high peak, then there are a lot of things that should have been happening within your life, right? A lot of things that you've purposed to do should now have been in the past, and you're moving on to a lot of other things, and the fruit, you should see the fruit, the results. The fruit is definitely there. So again, I want to caution all of you, when you ask yourself this question, I want you to be serious about this question. I want you to be truthful about this question, because yes, you know, if you're saying, well, are you saying that we lie to ourselves? Oh, you better believe it. Yes, we do. And so this question here is a question that's going to help you to not only get real with yourself, but it's going to help you to correct things that need to be done within your life and your business. It's only when you're able to be real and get out of that path of denial that you are able to then help yourself. So very important. So I wanted to bring out that fact about this one question of where you are. Don't try to stretch the number. If you feel like you are a 5 or a 4 or a 3, because to be honest, I haven't been working on anything in my business. I haven't been, I write the list, but I don't even do anything with the list that I write. I feel accomplished in writing the to-do list, but to be truth be told, I don't do anything with the list. Check this out. That's just a temporary thing. You can rise. That scale can rise for you. But you first got to be truthful to figure out why are things not happening. If you're in your second, third, fourth, or fifth year and you've not made any money in your business, you're not sure why you're not generating funds coming in your business, or you can't consistently generate an income, then yes, you have to go back and look at your belief level. Yes, you have to figure out, is it some things that I'm doing that I am not aware of? Yes, you have to look at all of those things. Is it always our fault that we are not making the money we want to make in our business, that we're not? No, it's not always our fault. There are always variables and factors that lie outside of our control, but we have so much control that we can truly impact how we generate income in our businesses, right? And so all I'm saying is that we have to stop being that little girl that's playing business. Remember, we used to play scary. We used to play all those different things when we were little girls. We've got to stop being that little girl. We've got to put on our big girl panties. We've got to be that woman that God is expecting us to grow our business. He's expecting us to be responsible. He's expecting us to make things happen, right? And it is all going to be based on our belief level in ourselves, because the answer to what it is that we need is always going to be there. We just have to discover what it is. And when we get out of our own way and we figure out who we need to talk to help us to reach new levels, when we are in that mode, then the truth will set us free, and we will be able to then proudly be able to say, yes, my belief level is a 7. I know that it is because these things are happening and I'm working my way on up to an 8. But when we're not truthful with ourselves, then that is when the problem exists. And we will find out, because there are side effects to this. We will find out that when We have tricked ourselves into believing that our belief level is one thing, but then the end results really do not give evidence that it's the truth. Then there are certain side effects that we receive that are going to actually occur in our lives. So I just want to tell you what some of those side effects are. Number one, you feel overwhelmed. You feel stressed, right? You do lag energy, right? Procrastination is one of the big pieces of the side effects on this because you find yourself just really not wanting to do the work, and you find yourself always hiding from your own work. Even though you created it, you find yourself hiding your own work, right? It crosses your mind. Every now and then, what you need to be doing crosses your mind, but you ignore it. Do a lot of ignoring. So there are many, many side effects to, you know, knowing whether or not you're actually believing. And here's what I've discovered overall. It's virtually impossible to believe in a high level such as unshakable faith and not take action on it. The two cannot exist in the same space. That's just like righteousness and wrongdoing cannot exist in the same space. The two just, it's like they're two different molecules that repel each other. And so they cannot exist in the same space. And so it is with belief. Belief cannot exist. Unshakable faith, that's that level we need, right? It can't exist with procrastination. It just compels it. It pushes it away. And so again, these questions, these seven questions of belief, these seven questions of business leadership, these are questions that are going, if you ask the questions and you then answer the questions, because they're generally going to lead to a series of tasks and things that you need to be doing for yourself. If you answer these questions and you work on these, you're going to see some incredible things happen, right? I can guarantee that to you because I have done it and I continually ask myself these questions. I have different answers depending upon how much work I've already did in those areas, right? So again, encouraging you to don't take the seven questions of business leadership for granted. Don't just listen at me, ask the questions and share with you the questions and you do nothing. Okay, I want to be clear on that. I had to put on my coach's hat for a minute. Okay, station identification, if you just tuned in, if you're just listening to us, this is Trina Newby, and you are listening to no other than the Successful Woman Radio Show. I'm so excited that you're here. Make sure that you mark your calendar every Monday at 12 noon Eastern time where we come on live. Let's go back and take a look at preparing your mind for greatness. Now that we've gone over those seven questions, I really created a short segment just about preparing your mind for greatness because it is that important, right? I want to go ahead and this time start off with Philippians 4, 6 through 8. Be anxious about nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. He goes on to say, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on all these things, right? Put your mind on the right things. And that is what preparing your mind for greatness is all about. Again, preparing your mind for greatness is using that process of prayer, customized affirmations, and unshakable faith within yourself to really hone in on strengthening your personal power so that you may strengthen and guard yourself against anything. And the thing of it is here is that we don't know how our day is going to end. We have no control over that. But what we do have control over is how we can respond to the things happening to us in the day. We can purpose to do things. We should not just allow life to run us, right? Because God has given us the authority to run life. So we have to make sure that we are in our full, okay, that we are in our full personal power to make things happen in our lives. So very, very important. You need to know that our God, the Father, wants great things for you. Yes, he does. And he doesn't want you to wait to be validated by anyone or to think that something or someone else is supposed to give you the authority to do it. No, when you were born, the time you breathed the breath of life, you needed to know that God has your back. He created in you, instilled in you all of the talents and potentials that you were going to need. Now, with that said, we are spiritual beings living in physical human bodies. And so therefore, we have to really know how to live in the spirit versus living in the physical. It's very important. This is something that is key. And again, preparing your mind for greatness does just that. It also strengthens your subconscious mind, okay? Your subconscious mind does not know right from wrong. It only knows what you put in it. And it only feeds back to you what you've put in it, right? And so the conscious mind is our communication center. Consider it like a hard drive in a computer. It's the central communication center. And within the conscious mind, this is how we are able to communicate not only with ourselves, but this is how we are able to communicate with each other. You listening to the show right now, you're listening in the conscious mind. It's helping you to listen at the words that I'm saying, therefore communicating and relaying back to you what I'm saying. So this is the conscious, better known as the now. You might have heard that new term or expression, we're living in the now. And so you should know that the conscious and the subconscious are two separate chambers in the brain. However, the subconscious chamber actually controls the conscious chamber. We're able to speak, talk, hear, smell, touch. We're able to do all of these things with our senses because the subconscious mind believes that we can, and therefore it allows us to. But anytime you believe you can't speak, anytime you believe you can't hear or touch or anything else involving bodily functions, the subconscious mind will accept that and relay it and will stop you from being able to do it. This is why sometimes in clinical studies, they have seen where people who say they can no longer walk and the doctor's saying there's no reason why they can't walk. They've just adopted the belief that they couldn't. They have done tests to prove that that is true. And so they've worked with people in their belief levels that they can walk and have helped people in many holistic ways to start walking again without any surgeries or anything like that. So again, the subconscious mind is extremely powerful. So why am I telling you about the subconscious mind? Why am I reminding you about preparing your mind for greatness? It is because preparing your mind for greatness you to practice the supernatural. Now, what am I saying? What I'm saying is that God created us in his image, and there are several powers that he gave us to make things happen in our lives. But oftentimes we take our existence for granted, and we don't realize that there are certain things we are able to do with the help of God the Father, right? Because after all, he created us in his image. And therefore, because he created us in his image, we are able to do a lot of things that he has given us that power to do. And within us, he's also left us with the Holy Spirit, him living in us. And so again, this is why we must get to understand our spiritual selves as well as our physical selves. So this is why we must protect our subconscious mind, because what you put in it is what you get. And so preparing your mind for greatness is not just a cute expression that I'm sharing with you. What I'm sharing with you is to say that, oh, my sister, my queen, you need to know that you have been given mighty, mighty powers of God to do many wonderful things in your life. And you need to know and understand that you have to protect your abilities to do these things. You have to protect yourself against naysayers. You have to protect yourself against negative people, places, and things. You have to protect yourself against the television. You have to protect yourself on the internet. You have to protect yourself in conversations. You have to protect yourself in many ways where it is going to take away enhancing your life. And so to do this, something that has to be done on a daily basis and sometimes throughout the day, depending upon what you are working with and dealing with, right? But at the end of the day, you should know that if you equip yourself with the powers that God has bestowed upon you, there is nothing that you can't accomplish, nothing that you can't do. Very important to understand that. And so I want to go ahead at this point and move right into talking about becoming the queen of your empire and exactly what does that mean. You might be asking yourself sometimes when you hear me express that term, well, what is Trina talking about? What does it mean that I am the queen of my empire? Well, sis, it means that at the time of your birth, you inherited the right to rule over all things that you create and bring into existence, whether it's businesses, organizations, home, land, and other types of real estate. You are responsible for growing it and managing over it. God wants you to be a living testimony for him. So you are in control over your thoughts. You are in control over the visions that you have, over the goals that you set, over the tasks that you should be completing. You're in control over it all. Now, I want you to write this down, and I want you to read it. It's Genesis 1:28. Again, Genesis 1:28. It says, then God blessed them and said to them. This is talking about God creating Adam and Eve. So he says to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish, the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Right? So I want you to understand something about this particular scripture, because this scripture tells you exactly what his expectations are when he created Adam and Eve, right? He said, be fruitful and multiply. He's not just talking about children. He's not just talking about, I need you to have tons and tons of children. No, he's talking about be fruitful and multiply in all things of your life. Again, be fruitful and multiply in all things of your life. And this is very, very important for you to understand that. He's saying, fill the earth and subdue it. Right? Have dominion over it. He lets us know that we're over every other living creature. We're over every other living thing. We're over everything that we envision. We are over it. This scripture shows us that God has given us the authority. He has validated us as a human beings. He has given us the authority to take dominion over everything in the earth, basically, right? And so you need to understand, and I'm hoping that this is an aha moment for many of you. You have to understand you truly are queen of your own empire. You inherited that right through the Lord. And so you need to take it with all respect. You need to understand that it is not a title given to you lightly, but you need to understand that God expects great things from you. God did not create you to be poor. God did not create you to be in poverty all of your life. God did not create you to be stressed, depressed, broke, busted, and disgusted. Oh, no, he did not. He created you to be great. He created you to do incredible things. He created you so that he create that you may envision, so that you may make things happen in your life, not only in your life, but in the lives of others, that you may bless others. So therefore, it is our responsibility as human beings to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over all things, right? Over the earth. Because we have already been given that authority. So sometimes many people wait on their purpose. They're expecting it to just drop out of the sky, or they are expecting some miraculous act or some physical evidence that God is speaking to them. But we need to know and understand he has spoken from the time of creation. He has spoken. He has said what his purpose is, what he wants us to do. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. Have dominion over this earth. He's already told us that. So therefore, anything that you envision, anything that you purpose to do in your life, you need to know that those thoughts that you have, if it is of righteousness, if it is of good, you need to know that it has been given to you by God, and you are to take it and run with it. Don't run away from it, but embrace it. Many of you have dreams and goals and envisioning a lot of different things that you want to do, and you're thinking that you're supposed to be the only one involved in making it happen. Even though he has called you to be the leader of it, you need to know how to leverage the talent and potential of other people who are willing and ready to help you make some things happen, right? And so again, when you are the queen of your empire, it is just that. You are building your empire. You're putting in your empire for you to rule over all of those things which you desire, all of those things which you envision. And so it's time for us to get real, get serious again, put on those big girl panties. We're big girls now, and make some things happen. Don't fret, because God is always going to be there guiding us and helping us to make things happen. Okay. It is a little bit before the hour of one. We've just got a little bit of time left, and I'm going to go directly into our topic as we put closure on the prosperity code. And don't forget, you can go and listen to all the replays in the Women About Biz member portal. Just log in and go there. If you're not a member yet, just go to womenaboutbiz.net and click on join today. Join us, as we are a family of business women that have a commitment to making things happen in our lives and becoming those queens of our empires that we desire to be. So as we look at giving back with impact, this is our last episode on the Prosperity Code. I want you to know that the Prosperity Code, this is something I think you should go back and listen to, because it's talking about ways to generate that prosperity in your life. So as we look at giving back with impact in the business world today, you know, success is really not solely defined on just profit margins and all of that, but increasingly it's about the impact we make on society and the world around us. As businesswomen, we have a very unique opportunity to leverage our skills, our resources, and influence to give back in meaningful ways, especially being that women are known for their nurturing spirit. This can be used to our advantage to make a difference in the world. Let's explore avenues of philanthropy, of social responsibility. Let's talk about it for a minute, right? Of course, we can do philanthropy beyond donations. Philanthropy goes beyond writing a check. It's about investing time, your expertise, resources where they're needed most. For business women, this could mean volunteering with local charities or nonprofits that align with their values and missions, whether it's mentoring young entrepreneurs, organizing fundraising events, or serving on advisory boards. Our active involvement can create a ripple effect of positive changes in our communities. I want to just give some examples of that. Maybe you have a heart for single moms because you are a single mom. And let's say, for example, you're a life coach or you're someone that has information that can empower single moms. You normally charge for it, but now what you're deciding to do in your give back is you want to be able to hold free events for this special group of people, for these single moms. It could be a business coach. I'm a business coach. It could be a business coach going and partnering with a shelter of some kind and offering to help give business workshops and classes for those women in the shelter that are seeking ways that they can bring in additional income. So again, giving of your time, giving of your business can be a beautiful thing. And, you know, the side effect from this, because we have side effects in every action that we take, the side effect from this is that it also helps us to brand our business. Now, we shouldn't be doing it because of that, but a blessing comes because it brands our business, and the blessing is that more people know who we are, what we do, and it makes us feel good. That's another side effect, the related feeling of goodness, of God's kindness. It helps us to feel that as well, right? Leveraging your professional skills for pro bono work and reaching out to other nonprofit organizations is something very important. And it's okay if you decide that you want to start your own nonprofit organization so you can service those individuals on a larger scale. So you can make a decision of whatever you want to do, but just know that philanthropy goes beyond just giving money, right? Social responsibility in business operation, right? We have significant power to drive social change through how we function on a daily basis. We can integrate our social responsibility. We can make sure that we involve different types of sustainable type business practices to minimize damage to the environment. We can promote diversity. There are so many different things that we can do with our businesses on a daily basis, right? So we need to consider how our businesses can directly address social issues as well, right? This is very, very important. There are a lot of social businesses out there, and basically what it means is that these for-profit companies have integrated nonprofit efforts to help society. So there are for-profit organizations and companies that give, you know, for every pair of shoes that's bought, they give a pair away to someone who needs shoes. They give money, of course. They give clothes. There is many organizations that are out there that are making the impact, that are making things happen. So again, I want to encourage you to think about ways that your business can be socially responsible. Maybe you can have a rule that for every $25,000 in profits that your company makes, that you give 10 to 15% of it to social charities, or maybe you do something that you know will help children in need. Like I just learned a few months ago, and I had heard it before, but I really delved into it, that in many of the school systems now, especially in the urban communities, they don't let children take home school books anymore. I did not know that. Now, school systems are saying it's because they're losing millions of dollars per year, and as a result, they can't afford that, so they have to keep the school books and let the children check the books out during the school session, but they can't let them take the books home to study. So they make a whole bunch of copies of a book chapter or what have you. I just think it's ridiculous. I think they need to do something about that. And so as a result, As a result, children are not learning as effective because they can't take their school books home. So what if you, in an urban community in your area, what if you decided that you wanted to pay for the copying of book chapters or pay for the copying of certain areas of a book so that the children would at least have the copy that they could take home and study with? And so, again, there's just all kinds of things that we can do to leverage our business for good. So businesses are not just vehicles for profit, but they can be platforms for change as well. And as businesswomen, and I say this overall, as women, we can leverage our platforms to advocate for causes that we are indeed passionate about. So consider how your business can empower others to give back, right? Give back with impact is not just a moral obligation. It's a strategic imperative plan for businesswomen in today's world, and it's what God is expecting us to do. Our profit is not just for ourselves and our families, but God is expecting us to bless the lives of others with it as well. So I hope that you give serious thought to how you impact the communities around you, how you can impact society. So give back with impact. Well, that's all I have for today. Our April calendar, planning calendar will be out on Wednesday. So definitely want you to make sure that you go and check out the April planner and get into the goal setting program. Have a beautiful, beautiful day, a productive week. And remember, God expects you to do great things. Take care, everybody.